Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Playing our song, it's 5:10, and the Bob Surratt program is on the air. Good to have you with us on this snowy morning. It is Thursday, January 23rd. I don't know about you, but I remembered yesterday the health tips. I was going up the stairs on my tiptoes. I brushed my teeth this morning standing on one leg. Those were a couple of the recommendations we passed along from experts yesterday. And as I predicted, a few were memorable. Anybody else?
Blue fruit.
Oh, yeah, the blue fruit. Yeah.
Oh, it's an eggplant, by the way, that aubergine or whatever we were supposed to.
Yeah, I know. I went through some of the texts after we got off the air yesterday, and we had dozens people reminding us
how stupid we are.
I took one of them and changed it around a little bit. I had a hand weight, probably 5 pounds, I think it is. And uh-huh. While I was taking a nap on the couch, is when I woke up. While I was still on the couch, I lifted it a few times.
Yeah, I think the suggestion from the doctors had something to do with ankle weights while you watch television. Yeah. Yeah, but that's a good one, Steve. Yeah.
Did you get leg cramps when you walked on your tippy toes up the stairs? That would give me cramps in calves.
No, I survived that.
Oh, good. I'm happy. I'll try it then.
Yeah, blue fruit. What is it again? Aubergine?
I think that was it.
It's an eggplant. Okay. Yes. 312-981-7200, our phone number. That's also the text number, by the way. The secret to being a successful morning radio host, I have determined it's comfortable socks. Because if I am wearing socks that are nice and cushy, I feel good in the morning. I actually look forward to putting them on in the morning. So for any young broadcaster listening this morning, you want to get into the business, that's my tip to you. Get some good, comfortable socks, especially if you want to work in the morning. It's 5:17. Let's say good morning to Courtney Guzman at WGN Television. How you doing, Courtney?
Hey, good morning, Bob. How's it going?
It's going, and so is the impeachment trial, another marathon session. Tell us about the arguments and what's ahead, Courtney.
So, yes, yesterday was the first time that the House impeachment managers got to start their opening arguments, and they are expected to last two more days, so that includes today. They started talking about this flawed call that they say where the president engaged in quid pro quo withholding defense money to the country of Ukraine if that country leaders did not start investigating the son of the president's 2020 election rivals. We're talking about Hunter Biden. Senators listened as Democrats continued to make their case for witnesses. Democrats want to hear from witnesses, and they want the ability to be able to subpoena evidence from the White House. Republicans say, yeah, we might be willing to allow witnesses, but we want to hear from Hunter Biden. Democrats say that is a no-go. Also interesting yesterday is that the president was on his way back from Switzerland. You know, he attended the Economic Forum, the World Economic Forum, and he set a record yesterday in terms of how many tweets he issued, almost 150 tweets yesterday, live tweeting as he was watching on Air Force One the impeachment proceedings taking place. And, of course, he was sending out rebuttals and things of that nature. And then there was an arrest on the Senate floor yesterday. A man burst through the doors and started yelling as House members were making their case in this impeachment trial. So Now we fast forward, what's going to happen today? Adam Schiff says they will focus on the impeachment article that deals with abuse of power, that spells out the president's infractions according to the law, according to the Constitution, and according to the facts that they have so far.
You know, I was switching back and forth. In fact, every time I came back to the trial, I thought, wait a minute, there's something wrong with my television or the cable company. The picture's frozen. It's the same thing. But I heard the yelling in the background. I didn't know what was going on. So they actually arrested somebody in the Senate chamber, huh?
They did. They said that this man somehow unlawfully made entry onto the Senate floor. So I can only imagine that today's security will be much more heightened, seeing that did happen. But yeah, he busted through the doors and started yelling as House impeachment managers were actually on the floor making their case at the time.
Yeah, at least it wasn't one of the senators.
yes. So we shall see. It'll be interesting. This is historic, and I know there's been wall-to-wall coverage on just about every network, including WGN, so we have that for you starting at noon today.
We'll be watching at least some of it, as much as we can take. Thanks, Courtney. Appreciate the report.
Yeah,
have a good day.
It is
5:20, and around this time in the morning, we go to the first caller who gets on the radio and award a prize. And today it's John from Plainfield. Congratulations. Good morning, John. How you doing?
I'm doing great, Bob. Thank you very much, and welcome back to the airwaves.
Thank you very much. And what do you do? Are you on the way to work, John?
I am. I'm a supply chain director in the far western suburbs.
What does that exactly mean, supply chain director?
It means I run distribution centers and move products around as our customer demand dictates and get orders out to them.
And do you want to mention the product?
No, I'd rather not.
Okay. You're not being followed by the police, are you?
No. Just in the medical waste business, and so it's... we fly under the radar.
Okay. You want to give us a little road report on this snowy morning?
Absolutely. 30 degrees out here in Plainfield, light snow falling. Conditions are slushy, but the salt trucks have been out. Allow a little extra following distance, and let's get to work safely, everybody.
Very, very nice. You sound like a guy who can use a desktop indoor weather station. That's your prize, brought to you by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men. Visit AmericanWeathermakers.com. We'll get that out to you, John.
That's fantastic. Thank you very much.
Sounds right. Like a guy who could use a radio show.
Yeah.
Could he be
pipes? Very comprehensive.
Could be my fill-in.
Yeah. Are you always busy between 5 and 9, Johnny?
Yeah, I'm afraid I am.
Okay. Well, you know, hang on. We'll get your contact information, and, you know, just in case, you'll be called. Hold on. Thanks for listening, John. It's 5:22. This is Jerry from Dyer, Indiana. Hi, Jerry.
Hi.
Sorry you didn't make it. Sorry you didn't make it as the first caller.
Sorry about that. I'm glad you're back on, Bob. Enjoy listening to you all the time.
Appreciate that, sir.
Okay, my question is this. I went to Best Buy, got a radio, and they don't make radios anymore with AM. It's just FM, and they don't have the plug-in for earphones. How can I get a radio with AM and FM?
Well,
to listen to you, especially.
Well, now that you mentioned it, we'll hear about it, I'm sure, and get some answers for you. But don't you just listen to radio on your phone now? I mean, anybody who's got a smartphone, in effect, is carrying a radio with them.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I guess I have to. I'm retired. I volunteer at the hospital. I've had a radio show myself and years ago, but it went Hispanic, and I can't talk Hispanic, so that takes care of that.
Well, just you get my wife. Marianne will come in and do the show with you. She's fluent in Spanish. And why don't you team up with John, who just called? He can do the weather and traffic. You can handle the rest. The John and Jerry show.
Sounds good.
Jerry, just...
But I retired, and as I said, I want to go take a radio to the beach with me and to the pool, where my wife and I are very avid swimmers, and we go to the pool all the time. We go to Vegas once a year, and we plan to take a river cruise to Paris. and I hope it's safe now. I don't know about that. I was going to ask you about that too. But anyway, where can I get a radio with AM and FM, sir?
Okay, we'll get an answer for you. Isn't that how Wally Phillips used to do it?
Yeah.
And then I'll just pass along the information. But listen, just go to WGNRadio.com. There are also several apps like TuneIn, and you can just listen online. It's actually better than FM quality, and I think you'll be happy. Thanks for the call, Jerry. Appreciate that. All right, let's squeeze in one more here since we have a minute. Hi, Mike in Kankakee. What's happening?
Hey, Bob, I got a question. My wife and I are having a disagreement. Back in the day when you were with the old-timers, I thought you get a little segment, and at the end you said, this is BS.
Yeah, I would do that from time to time. Yeah, those are my initials. That's what it stands for.
No, here's the problem my wife and I got. I thought you were giving nonsense, and you were just goofing around. My wife said that she thought you were giving a little commentary, and then, yeah, you were giving your initials. Were you giving nonsense back then, or was it something important?
Hang on a second, Mike. Just hold on 1 minute. Can we connect Mike to some therapists?
It's a loaded question.
give Mike the number of some specialists. All right, wait a minute. Let me get back to him here. Yeah, Mike, I was just fooling around. I was just fooling around. That's all. I was just filling up 4 hours a day back then, just like I am now. And try not to use the term old timers, though, when we're talking, okay?
Well, you and I go back a long. But Bob, I was right then, and my wife was wrong, so I won something from my wife.
You did? What was the prize?
Well, Bob, I'm an old timer, and I don't get. There's not a lot of action going on in our house.
Hang on a second, Mike. Can we hook Mike up with John and Jerry? Because we got a radio show there. Mike can do like the controversial questions of the day, and then you got John with your traffic reports, right? A little weather, and then Jerry can come on and do his Spanish program or whatever else he was doing. Well, we'll connect everybody. That's what we do here at WGN. It's 5:26, and we have a kind of a weather problem today on the roads, and we will all day today. And actually, I was looking at this. It's going to be a little slower for you this morning. They are actually talking about, where did I see that? A weather event they're talking about, not your typical weather event, because the forecasters say the snow will continue every day now until at least Saturday. Snowfall could be particularly heavy during Friday night's commute, but we're going to have some snow and some rain this morning and probably also this afternoon. So we'll keep you updated on all of that. Orion has the agribusiness update.
Good morning. In futures trade yesterday in livestock at the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, we saw some weakness in the cattle market. Traders getting ready for that government report due out Friday with our cattle on feed, expected to confirm the nation's supplies have expanded from a year ago. So on Friday morning, here's what traders surveyed by Reuters will be saying. They're looking for the number of cattle on feed to be up 2.2% from a year ago. Number of cattle placed on feed in December up 3.4%. And the number of cattle marketed in December up 5.2%. Those are the expectations for the report coming out Friday before noon. Checking the grain trade yesterday at the Chicago Board of Trade, the wheat contract held pretty good strength, but when the day ended, the March contract was down 3¾ cents. March corn was up a penny and a quarter a bushel. March soybeans down 1¾ cents a bushel. Here's an interesting story, because this is the year of the census. Census is going to be conducted, and you're expected to take part in it if you're of the right age. age, and it'll be nationwide. But the first census interview took place in Alaska, which is part of the tradition, and because of the weather situation that makes traveling difficult. But 90-year-old Lizzie Chimugak was the first person interviewed for the census this year. Her home on an outpost on the Bering Sea, Toksuk Bay. She has become the first person counted in the census, which is taken every 10 years. Interesting story. That's Ag Biz. Orion Samuelson, have a great day.
We will try. 541. I knew we'd get the answer to that radio question. Checking the texts here. Number of people had some ideas from 847. Try Amazon, because Sony has one. Our caller wanted to buy a radio that had AM and claimed you couldn't anymore, but apparently he was wrong. From 630, you can get a transistor radio even. Go online to eBay. Lots of the old ones for sale online that are not available in stores anymore. 815 reports Menards sells AM/FM radios. This person just bought one. And then a couple of texts mentioning C. Crane selling quality AM/FM radios with headphones. Some of their products available on Amazon. Let's see. $12 AM radio is available on Amazon from 773. And let's see if we have any other suggestions. The drugstores have cheap AM/FM radios. And from 815, there's a radio brand called Sangian that has AM/FM that you can buy online. I have two of them. A number of people mentioned Best Buy. Somebody sent me a page from the Best Buy catalog. And there you go. Apt and Amazon for AM radios. A texture from 847, and they're under $15. So, no excuse for not listening. Although, as I say, I mean, it's fun to listen on online or on your phone because the quality is so good. You just go to WGNradio.com, and then there are several apps also that work. I'm trying to remember all of them. I know TuneIn is one, and then my wife found one that I'd never heard of that's really a good one. I'll see if I can find that and pass that along to you. Thursday mornings at this time, Steve Grzanich has our weekly Associated Bank Thought Leader Conversation.
Our thought leader today is Adam Ludostansky, who is the head of Illinois Commercial Banking for Associated Bank. Adam, good morning. Welcome.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
We have our regular group of thought leaders, and you're new to the group, so I wanted to spend a little time talking about you and what you do at Associated Bank so our listeners can get an idea of that. Tell us about yourself.
Thanks. Yeah, I work with a group of lenders in the Illinois area, and we work with middle market companies, 25 million to up in the billions, and we help them with their working capital needs, their acquisition finance, and then all the other banking services that they may need.
So your expertise would be on what kinds of topics and issues that are probably in the headlines, even as we speak.
Yeah, we're helping our clients through liquidity concerns, whether it need to be with buying new equipment, making acquisitions. We're also helping them with their, you know, treasury management services and making sure things are efficient. It's hard to find people these days, and companies are demanding to be more efficient.
I bet one of the big parts of your job is dealing with all of the changes in the banking landscape, and there are lots of them. I pulled an article from Forbes, and they list at least a dozen big changes that are involved right now in the banking industry. And I wanted to focus in on a couple of them. And one is the idea that we're seeing more consolidation. I know we've, on the local landscape, seen banks come and go and branches come and go and close. What's the trend here as we start 2020?
I think we're going to continue to see that. Technology costs continue to rise. In order to stay relevant with the large banks, you have to continue to invest in technology. And as those costs continue to rise, it becomes challenging to do that on your own, and thus consolidating with another bank makes it more efficient.
Do the bank branches that are surviving, are they looking different than, say, the bank branches from a decade ago or even 5 years ago?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I can walk into branches and not see a person in there. so there's so much that you can do now on the ATMs and on your phone that people are not walking into branches.
Yeah, and what I'm thinking in my mind, I see a commercial for another bank that is a coffee shop, right? That's so you're trying to bring people in for all kinds of different other things and have them do a little banking while they're there, right?
Yeah, that is. I've seen that as well, and you know, I guess we can all do our banking from our phone in any coffee shop, but it is an interesting idea to get people in and be inside your bank.
You mentioned the technology aspect of this, and I know artificial intelligence is one of those growing technologies that is in the banking sector. The idea that a computer is approving you for a loan on the telephone or online seems really futuristic, doesn't it?
It really does, especially when I think about you know, our business and what I do day to day. And a lot of that is getting to know the people, trusting the people that you're sitting in front of, and knowing that they're going to execute. And so while I see a lot of efficiencies with being able to use AI to make loan decisions, it does take away that human element, which I think is really important.
Is the idea here to save money on human capital, so to reduce the number of humans working in a bank, or is the goal to speed up operations?
It's both. And really, it does take a lot of people historically to underwrite a loan, book a loan, and then monitor a loan. So it absolutely helps that. But then it does speed up. Consumers want decisions immediately, and this can speed up the process by weeks. It does leave the door open, though, to not much wiggle room of getting to know that person. And mm-hmm. So that is the concern, but it does give those two advantages.
And it's interesting because this article talks about that being one of the trends. But one of the other trends being the reemergence of relationship banking. Talk to us a little bit about why that's still important to have.
Well, I think that's everything, but that's what I do every day. So, you know, really, I mean, looking across the table and seeing that you trust the person to not only execute on their plan, but trust that they're going to do things to pay back your loan is vitally important. And so it's hard for me to see relationship lending going away completely, but I do think there is a place for certain loans with the AI technology that's out there.
And is this something that sets a bank like Associated Bank apart from one of those giant banks that you can go in and never see a human?
We think so, but it takes more than that. It does still take, even if you're not using AI, it does still take quick decision making, because in today's day, people have to make decisions quickly and need to know that their financing is behind them, whether that's buying a house or investing in their business.
I want to move on to something else, because I know that as the year begins, a lot of focus is on the trends that we've been talking about, but the bottom line. Last year, with the rate cuts that we saw from the Federal Reserve, how did that impact the landscape of banking, and what is the look ahead for this year?
It really impacted it a lot last year. Anytime there's a rate cut, it's going to impact banks, but those were surprise rate cuts last year, and they weren't in the budget of any of the banks. And so you start to budget for rate increases, and then you have rate decreases, and it really impacts a lot more than just the numbers. This year, it appears that it's going to slow, and there may be a rate decrease at the end of the year, but at least from a planning perspective, as we sit today, it makes it easier. But you will continue to see compression in margins as rates go down and banks have mostly floating rate loans. They instantly are going to see compression in margin.
Is this the year that digital currencies become even more popular? I know there are a couple of countries, I believe the central banks of Britain, Japan, the European Union, Sweden, Switzerland, all working to possibly come up with their own digital currencies. I know there's always been some hesitation. There has been hesitation about some of this stuff, but is it becoming more commonplace?
I don't see it in my day-to-day. It feels like it's still very early in that process, but anything that can help efficiency and help on the fraud side, I think is absolutely going to continue to be looked at. We'll see. I think there's still a long way to go until that becomes a reality, but You never know.
It still feels so futuristic, doesn't it?
It does.
Yeah. Well, Adam, how can people get a hold of you and have a one-on-one if they want?
Well, if they'd like, they could give me a call, 312-544-4511. That's 312-544-4511. Would love to talk to anyone about their business and their needs.
It's great meeting you, and we look forward to having you back as a thought leader.
Great. I appreciate it. Thanks a lot.
Thought leader Adam Ludostansky, head of Illinois Commercial Banking for Associated Bank. Now the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk Outlook for Thursday, January the 23rd. On the calendar today, the weekly report of first-time claims for unemployment benefits. Analysts expect to see 212,000 workers filing those claims last week, 8,000 more than the week before. Also today, the leading indicators, the EIA natural gas report, the Kansas City Fed manufacturing report, due out as well. The European Central Bank has an interest rate decision coming, and earnings today from American Airlines, Comcast, Kimberly-Clark, and Procter and Gamble. Just some of the things that could move the markets on Thursday, January the 23rd.
Thanks, Steve. And I wanted to be careful not to mention this story anywhere near Orion Samuelson's report, in case he's still up. Hopefully he's back asleep now. Tuna without the mercury and fish burgers without the fish. That's the headline. That's what Gathered Foods Corporation, a startup firm that developed plant-based seafood, is selling, and General Mills is now getting involved in this. They advertise it as real seafood taste, chunk, albacore texture, high in protein. So now we have fake fish. Yes, it's official, and it's Orion's worst nightmare. The news is coming up next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. Good morning, Bob Surratt, pretending to be awake. It's 10 after 6. That app I was trying to remember is Simple Radio. It's a really good app for live AM, FM listening from stations in Chicago or anywhere in the country. Simple Radio, that's the app. I was trying to remember that. Did you hear about StubHub and the Super Bowl tickets? Now, if you want to buy Super Bowl tickets on StubHub, you can actually take out a loan from them. This week, they began offering users the option to pay for various event tickets in monthly installments rather than at purchase over as long as a year. The monthly payment option, which is basically a short-term loan, carries interest rates between 10 and 30%.
Oh, that's a good deal.
Depending on your credit score and other determinants of credit worthiness, the installment option available for any event, as we mentioned, but StubHub is promoting this and tying the service to launch their Super Bowl offer. And as of yesterday, they were selling tickets for the Super Bowl that ranged in price from about $4,500 to $16,000. And if I had that kind of money to blow, I would buy a Super Bowl commercial for myself, you know?
Right.
I mean, you're talking about predatory lender-like interest rates of as much as 30%.
So don't you think if you have to finance the ticket that maybe you ought to rethink whether you really should go?
Well, yeah, man, if you've got like $16,000 to buy a Super Bowl ticket, I don't think you'd need a loan, right? Something's not computing about this.
Right, exactly.
But you are getting a concert out of it as well. You know, you got J-Lo. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So
I'm just trying to justify it a little bit.
So if you think of it as a football game and a concert, you amortize it and you're paying $17,000, so maybe you're only paying, you know, like $8,000 per ticket.
Right. And by the way, that concert lasts about, what, 13 minutes?
And yeah. Then you got the pregame festivities. You got Demi Lovato singing the, you know, national anthem.
Mary, you sound like my wife justifying her latest purchase at Neiman Marcus.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, good morning, everyone.
Now the Top 6 at 6 with Bob Surratt on WGN Radio.
Yes, this is where we review some of the stories of interest on any given day, and this day is Thursday, January 23rd. It's almost 6:18. Here we go. I know if you're waking up in the west suburbs, you're waking up with a smile today. Oak Brook's village president says he plans to work to get the red light cameras at 22nd and Route 83 in neighboring Oak Brook Terrace removed. As you know, there's been a federal investigation involving SafeSpeed, a controversial company that operates lucrative red light cameras at intersections in dozens of suburbs, including the one in Oak Brook Terrace.
Stand by for news.
What's that, Mary?
Sorry, I've been nailed there before.
Have you? Well,
oh, yeah. It's a terrible intersection. I know so many people that have gotten that ticket.
22nd and Route 83.
83. Oof. And it's going to be gone. Yes.
Well, let's work on some other ones now, maybe in Chicago.
Yep, go for it.
Yeah. Chicago's 911 Emergency Center is getting an upgrade. The 20-year-old computer-aided dispatch system will be replaced by a $75 million upgrade that is expected to dramatically improve both the speed and quality of emergency response. City Hall has chosen Tritech Software Systems to install the complex software and hardware systems that will allow the City of Chicago to comply with a 2020 deadline to make the switch to what's known as Next Generation 911.
Now, page two.
Now, Mary, you may be doing traffic reports on self-driving vehicles. GM and Honda have now unveiled the Origin. The six-seat electric vehicle has no steering wheel, no brake or accelerator pedal, no windshield wipers, a rearview mirror. The doors slide rather than swing open. There's no obvious front or back like a typical car. And this is not a car for sale. The Origin is going to be a rideshare vehicle. And you can ride in one through an app from Cruise, which Honda has invested in. Riders enter their destination in the app, similar to Uber and Lyft, and a vehicle will drive itself to pick them up. Once it arrives, customers enter a code on a keypad outside the car to gain entry. Inside the car, there are buttons for the rider to start or end the trip. The Origin uses sensors such as weight and seatbelt detection to identify if someone has entered or exited the vehicle. Cruise executives said removing traditional car features allows for more space for passengers. We have officially entered the Jetsons age now, haven't we? I don't know about this. When I hear these stories, I think about how years ago there were constant predictions that we'd all be taking helicopters to work. So I'll believe it when I see it. But apparently the technology is here, for better or for worse.
Page three.
A marijuana dispensary in downstate Springfield will soon be the first in Illinois to allow on-site pot use. The Springfield City Council approved the request by Dispensary Illinois Supply and Provisions to open a cannabis consumption area. An opening date for the area has yet to be determined.
Page four.
FedEx will start delivering packages through its new Sunday ground service this weekend as it competes with Amazon and other services. FedEx has long provided residential Sunday delivery during the holidays, but now the service will be available year-round for the majority of the U.S. population.
Don't it may concern.
Okay, this is, it's started now. The Super Bowl commercials, the Super Bowl advertising campaigns, these folks pay a lot of money for these commercials, but they kind of get their money's worth because we all start talking about it on TV and radio before the game, and then, of course, after the game, they're reviewed. And this is the latest brainchild from the Planters Peanuts folks. And this is what they've done to drum up some business. They have killed Mr. Peanut, the mascot, the famous Mr. Peanut that you've seen in commercials and on the peanut jars. Mr. Peanut is dead, apparently. Planters' longtime mascot, they say, has passed away after over a century of service. The company announced that the estate of Mr. Peanut is now in litigation, and they posted on Twitter, "It is with heavy hearts that we confirm that Mr. Peanut has died at 104. In the ultimate selfless act, He sacrificed himself to save his friends when they needed him most. You know, Fallon and Kimmel and Colbert, they're going to have a field day with this.
Oh, yeah.
And, of course, Planters Peanuts are going to get a lot of free publicity, like we're giving them right now.
Yeah. So did he fall into a vat of oil, or was it the...
Let the jokes begin.
Yeah, all right.
He'd been failing. He'd only been a shell of his former
self. Hey, good one, Dave. I like that.
Don't you think he's going to show up in a Super Bowl commercial?
Well, that's what they're doing.
That's what it is.
That's what the whole thing is.
Planters released a 30-second teaser leading up to their Super Bowl ad. A Planters spokeswoman said a funeral for the monocle-wearing peanut will air during the third quarter of the Super Bowl.
This story's nuts.
Oh, Steve, all right. We're pun crazy here.
He was one of the, if you think about him, one of the first, like, mascots used in advertising. When I don't remember as a kid being on the Jersey Shore, and on the boardwalk there was a Mr. Peanut who'd walk up and down the boardwalk.
Oh, somebody dressed up as Mr. Peanut?
Handing out samples.
He always looked old with the monocle.
Yeah, he didn't really age very much.
No. You know, I...
Wrinkled.
I'm a little fuzzy on details of this, but whenever I see Bill Curtis, who I worked with in the 80s, and we still keep in touch, but I always kid Bill about the fact that the first time we ever met each other, it was in the 70s. I was not doing TV yet, and Bill was fairly new to town, and we were both judges in a Miss Peanut contest of some sort. That's all I remember about that, but that's what this brings to mind.
Put that on your resume?
Oh, sure, yeah.
Of course.
The items on my resume, I've got that, and I've got Voice of the Coal Mine at the Museum of Science and Industry. Very proud of that.
That's a good one.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Do you get residuals from that?
I wish. And then, because my voice has been in there a long time. Actually, I was at one time the voice of the heart-lung machine, but they threw me out of there. A format change of some kind. I don't know what happened. They wanted to go in a different direction, they told me. So they kicked me out of that one. But then I got to do the coal mine. And then, I'm very proud to have on my resume... Member of the Chicago 16-inch Softball Hall of Fame. However, and I'll tell you this, but I try not to mention it, and it's in very small print, I hope. It's the media wing, which means I'm in there because I've talked about the game so much, not because of my athletic prowess. But I do pride myself on the fact that for a broadcaster, I'm in fairly good shape. For a broadcaster. So... bar's low.
Does Justin Kaufman know that you're in the Hall of Fame? Because this is like
I'm not sure.
An obsession with him.
The Hall of Fame is, or 16-inch
Hall
softball?
Of Fame. And 16-inch softball.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. He hangs out there all the time.
He hangs out at the Hall of Fame?
Apparently.
Yeah.
No kidding.
Dresses up, too.
You guys need to talk.
Is he the manager of the WGN softball team?
Allegedly.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, no, I haven't talked to him about that. I ran into him a couple weeks ago briefly, but I don't see him that much because he's here at
right.
night. Okay, I'll check that out.
I think the managing spot, Bob, could be yours.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You better not say that, Dave. Well, he's already said.
Would they move the games to like 10:30 in the morning?
Well, that's a problem.
Yeah.
And Justin's already started his campaign for next season.
Oh, he has?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah. For people who don't know, the Hall of Fame, the 16-inch Chicago Softball Hall of Fame, it really is a cool place. I don't know if I want to hang out there every day, but I was involved in the startup a little bit there, and I think I may have been out there emceeing the event when the first class was inducted. And I'm trying to remember. I think originally they were doing it, was it Maywood Park or something originally, and then they moved it. Let me get this information because my pal George is going to get mad at me if I don't give them a big plug. If you want to go visit the Hall of Fame, and here's how you can do it. Hall of Fame. And look for my plaque, by the way, if there is one. They're in Forest Park, okay? 7501 Harrison Street. And check them out. It's pretty cool, actually. There's some great athletes that are honored in that Hall of Fame. Did we close up the top six at six? We didn't close it up yet. Here it is.
And that's the way it is.
This has been the Top Six at Six with Bob Sarat on WGN Radio. Good
day. And I wanted to mention this yesterday, but I didn't get a chance. So I want to acknowledge the passing of Sheldon Cooper. He was 93. He died. He was still living in the Chicago area. He joined WGN back in 1950, led the company as president and general manager from 79 to 1982. He was known for many things, including his skill in developing talent in shows and syndicating those shows to a national audience. And one of his biggest hits was The Mystery of Al Capone's Vaults, the two-hour live television special that was broadcast in syndication in April of 1986, hosted by Geraldo Rivera. Now, don't tell me what happened, because I taped it. I still have the VHS that I haven't watched yet. Don't ruin the ending. I know Geraldo must have found something great in the vault. I will get to watching that one of these days. Cooper was born in South Bend, Indiana, and he studied at Purdue. Those studies interrupted by service with the Navy during World War II. He was stationed at Navy Pier, later telling his family he protected Chicago. He also learned about radio and sonar technology, according to his daughter. After the war, he returned to school, this time at Indiana University in Bloomington. After earning a bachelor's degree in theater arts, he moved to New York. He got a job as a page at NBC. Another fellow former NBC page, Sheldon Cooper. He was elected a vice president of WGN and vice president on the WGN Continental Broadcasting Board. He was station manager of Channel 9 in 74. He was the one who arranged for the station to become the home to the Phil Donahue Show. And he also helped develop a lot of shows that went national, like Soul Train, At the Movies, The Geraldo Rivera Show, a revival of what had been the National Barn Dance. He oversaw production of The Bozo Show and Creature Features. Sheldon Cooper left the Tribune in 1993 to start his own consulting business. So I know his wife had passed away a few years ago, but his family's still in the area. Our condolences, best wishes to them. Sheldon Cooper once offered me a job, and I remember it was just when I was getting out of radio somewhere around 1980 and looking at some TV opportunities, and Sheldon said, "Do you want to be the host of the lottery and, you know, pick the lottery balls?" And I, you know, I humbly turned that one down. Coming up on 6:39, I think I'm going to have a problem around 8 o'clock this morning, because normally I bring in an energy bar or a banana or something to eat around 8 o'clock or so, and I completely forgot today. So, do we have any emergency food up here? I didn't see. Usually there's a leftover from the night shift. There's a sodium nitrite buffet of some sort in our kitchen, but I didn't see anything today. Did you? Anybody?
No, but I have some extra stuff.
Oh, you do?
Yes, I have.
Your wife packs some bologna sandwiches for you?
No. I believe me, she's sleeping when I leave. But I have an energy bar. I'd be glad to share with you. I brought a banana and I brought a protein drink, so I could could have one of them. So if you're
well stocked.
And Bob, I have some emergency granola bars in here, but I haven't broken into them in probably 6 months, so I can't guarantee their freshness.
Well, you know, beggars can't be choosers.
The peanut butter dark chocolate ones.
I have to walk through the newsroom more often. I don't normally get in there. The way we're set up here, Dave Ennett is in here with me in the morning checking on sports, and then Mary's over at Traffic Central there in the newsroom along with Steve. So I do try to walk around, as people around here have noticed during the show, but I haven't visited everybody yet in their respective domiciles. But I plan to. Now that I know there's food stashed everywhere.
We have a bowl in Traffic Central that Lauren Lapka and I share. So she has a bunch of cashews in here, a whole big container of cashews, if you'd like some of those.
All right, I'm not going to start.
Quick energy there.
6:40 right now. Checking the mailbox and your feedback. Let's get caught up on a couple of emails first. We have that email address set up now, bobshow@wgnradio.com. Hi, Bob. I was just wondering if you also like jazz from the 60s with people like Stan Getz, Miles Davis, Dave Brubeck, and the list goes on and on. Would you consider a small segment on your show to honor some of these jazz greats? By the way, my wife Deb and I enjoy Facebook Live with you and Marianne in the evening. Keep well. Well, thank you, Bob. Appreciate that. I do have something from the Bob Surratt record collection that we're going to play tomorrow, I think, in honor of the Grammys. But it's a little bit of disco and disco history. So I don't know if you'll enjoy that. Not exactly Miles Davis, but maybe. Here's one from somebody who signs their email, longtime listener Joe. I work in a retirement community, and they have asked me to find a new station to listen to in the morning. I can't say I disagree with their request. By the way, we don't need another hypochondriac on the radio. Ro Khan has that covered in the afternoon. I'm just sorry about that, but that's why you get such good health news here on the station. And then on the texts at same number as the phone number here, 312-981-7200. I wanted to mention this from 847. Just a follow-up to Bob's dumpster of old classic tapes, how about calling it Bob's Vintage Vault of Voices? Yeah, we mentioned this the other day when we played that old Jack Brickhouse clip, and I announced that this was a new feature called the Dumpster of Memories. Is that what I called it? And Dave Ennett objected strongly to that, saying it was very negative and degrading. So we're working on that.
I suggested, I believe, Treasure Trove.
Yeah. Oh, we'll come up with something better. In fact, today we'll be going into the Dumpster of Memories or the Vault of Treasured Audio, because it was 5 years ago today that we lost Ernie Banks, and we found a very interesting clip of an interview that actually Marianne and I did on WGN with Ernie. It was right after he got the Presidential Medal of Freedom from Barack Obama, remember? Mm-hmm. And this part of the interview that we'll replay after 8 this morning, he actually talks about how he wants people to always think of him. It's kind of interesting. So, and I think because it's Ernie Banks, I better not introduce that as something from the dumpster of memories.
No, so that's my point.
Yeah, I agree. We'll work on that. Let's get some extremely local news now. Jen Sabella is here from Block Club Chicago. Good morning, Jen. How you doing?
Good morning. Good. How are you?
Great. Let's start off with a salute to Lane Tech's basketball coach.
Yes, Nick LaGalbo. He is the classic English teacher / basketball coach at Lane Tech High School in North Center. And he has brought home 150 wins for their boys basketball team, which is the best, the second most wins on record in the team's 112-year history.
Good for them.
Yeah, and it's actually wild because the coach that hit that record previously had been at the school for like 40 years. So Nick has only been there for a couple years, and he's already hit 150 wins. Yeah. He's a Lane Tech student, alum. He met his wife there. He's just, and they had a big game, and everyone was acting weird. And they ended up having a big celebration for him before the game. He's like, why is everyone here?
Oh, they surprised everyone.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, earlier this month to celebrate the 150th win.
Nice. Well, I hope our friends across the street from Lane Tech at Channel 9 gave him proper airtime for that.
Yeah, hopefully they read our story and went and gave him some love.
We move on to a former Logan Square Hardware store space that is seeing a small vintage toy store opening there now.
Yeah, perhaps the most Logan Square story of all is a hardware store then becoming a record store, now becoming a vintage toy shop. But Toy du Jour has been on Western Avenue for 6 years, and they have a lot of, this isn't a toy store that you'd go shopping for your kids' Christmas presents. This is for collectors. So they have a lot of like comic book inspired stuff, just vintage toys from the 50s and 60s. A lot of people who collect toys. And a lot of people go in, they sell their collectibles to Toy du Jour, and people from all over the country go there or contact them online to try to get some of their their stuff. So they're moving into a much bigger space. They said that their storage area looked like an episode of Hoarders, so they needed to expand. Logan Hardware is a really cool storefront on Fullerton Avenue, and yeah, they're hoping to have events for toy nerds and others who are interested, and just kind of opening up the space to do a little bit more with it.
So Toy Du Jour was on Western, and now they're going to be on Fullerton, is that right?
Right, but it's right around the corner. So they were at 2064 Northwestern, and they're moving to 2532 West Fullerton. So they were just a little bit south on Western, in between Armitage and Fullerton.
And now let's take you south to Hegwisch. A lot of people, a lot of Chicagoans still don't really know where Hegwisch is. And this is a really cool story, because I love hearing about a record store opening, which right. is what's going on in Hegwisch. First, tell everyone where Hegwisch is.
Hegwisch is on the far southeast side. So we're talking about like 132nd Street, but you're almost in Indiana at this point. They have like the Avenue O and all the alphabet names down there, which is not common. You know, mm-hmm. we're used to the numbers. But it's a little working class community. They don't have a lot of stuff like this. They don't have a lot of independent like coffee shops and a lot of foot traffic that would support something like a record store. But a Hegwisch resident was like, you know, I want a record store in my neighborhood. Kevin Beauchamp, he collects albums, and he decided, you know, I'm going to open something in my own neighborhood. He reached out to the Chamber of Commerce in the neighborhood, and they said, hey, why don't you make it a record store and a coffee shop to kind of give people a reason to come out and browse the records.
Good idea.
And a gathering space for the community, which is a little bit more lacking in the neighborhood. So yeah, that he's actually like trying to fundraise to open. He might just have the record store portion open at first until he's able to hire a barista and get all of the coffee equipment. But it will be called Catalyst Coffee Lounge and Music Gallery at 13257 South Baltimore Avenue.
Does he have a date in mind for all of this?
He's hoping to open before Hegwisch Fest, which is a big neighborhood festival, on August 1st. So this summer, hopefully Hegwisch residents will have a new cafe and coffee and record store.
Fantastic. There's a interesting event Saturday, and talk about this on the west side.
Yes, so Block Club Chicago, our director of development, Maple Walker, when she came in, she was like, let's do something big for the neighborhood. So she contacted about 19 local organizations, and we're all going to be in one room this weekend at Sinai Medical Center, Sinai Community Institute, at 2653 West Ogden Avenue, and we are going to be having a free resource fair. There will be free food, toiletries, a lot of free resources, legal help for people who can't afford a lawyer. There'll be an opportunity to get your blood pressure checked. Also learn about how to get your record expunged and how to give the life-saving drug, the opioid drug, naloxone. So we're going to have 19 organizations. We compiled with the Public Narrative and other nonprofit organization in Chicago a resources guide to the West Side. So anything you need to know for anything you need, if you're in Garfield Park, North Lawndale, Austin, anywhere else, if you want to come on out to Sinai, it's from 10 to 2 on Saturday. Block Club staff will be out there, and Austin Weekly and The Tribe. So a lot of local news outlets. So we want to hear tips from neighbors and get to know them, and they can let us know what we're missing.
And where will this be again?
This is at the Sinai Community Institute at 2600 West Ogden Avenue.
Got that. I should mention before you leave here that Express, a staple in U.S. malls, closing about 100 stores, including two in suburban Chicago, part of a restructuring plan as that chain grapples with changes where people spend their shopping dollars. Did you ever shop at Express, Jen?
I have. I was a mall employee. I worked at Chicago Ridge Mall for many years. Two stores in the mall, Mrs. Fields and Journeys. So I've seen a lot of the mall stores go under in recent years.
The last day for Express stores in Hawthorne Mall and Vernon Hills and River Oaks Center in Calumet City will be on Sunday. So look for your sale. Look for your sale there. And quickly, Block Club Chicago, you mentioned the big fair and the neighborhood news stories that you pass along in the morning here. Block Club Chicago, made up of neighborhood reporters. Tell us a little bit about that.
Right. So our neighborhood reporters are embedded in the neighborhoods they cover. For example, our reporter Mina Bloom in Logan Square, she lives in Logan Square and she works in the neighborhood every day. So she goes and walks around. People will stop her on the street and say, hey, Mina, I got a story for you. It's very old school. It's like the beat reporter of yesteryear. And that's what we're kind of trying to bring back, because we think it's important to have somebody on the ground who knows what's going on and who's in parachuting in to, you know, just cover mm-hmm. something without context. So
thanks to you, we do extremely local news here in the morning with you. Appreciate that.
Thanks,
Jen,
for having us.
Have a good day. And since you mentioned the free West Side Resource Fair Saturday, I should also remind you it is Sox Fest weekend, and that's going to be Friday and Saturday, not Sunday this year, right?
Right. 2 days, beginning tomorrow. The opening ceremony is tomorrow at McCormick Place.
Paul Sullivan in the Tribune has a sort of a list of suggestions for the White Sox, and there are two that I really will support. One is starting the weekday night games a half hour earlier. That'll enable me to go to more games. And also, change the starting times for the July 7th and 8th Cubs games to late afternoon instead of evening. Now, Paul gives the reason, there were some problems with people who had a little too much to drink and the big crowds at night. So maybe it would be a kinder, gentler crowd in the afternoon. But, of course, I support that because it'll make my schedule a lot easier. So,
well, that's really what it's all about, isn't it, Paul? So,
yeah, me. Yeah, that's it. Anyway, Sox Fest, we'll tell you more about that as we move along this morning. The news is coming up next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. Coming up on 10 after 7, as you heard on the news, it's getting a little scary with this coronavirus. The city where the deadly virus originated has now closed all outbound public transportation, flights, and trains. And does this mean, Steve, let's hop back into the newsroom for a second, that experts, the world health experts, are looking at more problems and perhaps more people with the virus? No more cases in the U.S., though, right?
No more cases in the U.S., but there are some new cases in Thailand, Taiwan, Japan, and South Korea, and one suspected case in Australia as well. Some unsettling pictures coming in from Wuhan this morning with troops now stationed outside of the train stations and some of the other transportation centers there. People are going in, trying to leave to go for their New Year's holiday trips, and they're arriving at these train stations and bus stations and not being able to go anywhere and being met by armed troops there wearing masks. So it's a pretty frightening situation. And there are three other cities as well where this is likely to happen next. But Wuhan is the biggest, with 11 million people there now basically quarantined.
The World Health Organization still has not made a decision on whether to declare an international emergency, but who knows what's coming. We'll keep you posted right here. Steve Grzanich in the newsroom, Mary Vandevelt in the traffic center, Dave Ennett on sports, at your service, as usual, every morning here between 5 and 9 o'clock. And Dave, I was listening to Michael Kopech, and he was talking about coming back from Tommy John surgery for the White Sox this year, and I guess no restrictions on him in spring training. And they asked him, can you still pitch, throw 103 miles an hour? And he said, yeah, I can. I don't know if I'm going to be the power pitcher I used to be, though. And that's good news, though, because you can't succeed just on that. You gotta use your brain, don't you?
Well, you do. You do. And I think was sort of the point he made yesterday, that he's going to be careful, but he's always going to be a power pitcher. I mean, that's why he's where he is.
Sure.
But I would think the White Sox are going to be cautious with him to start the year and to start spring training.
Yeah.
Or to start the season anyway. And Maybe he starts out at AAA before he gets back up to the major leagues. The White Sox appear to have pretty deep rotation.
Yes, they do.
Which is the good news. So, yeah.
But he's got to be a pitcher, not a thrower. That's the key.
Yeah, oh, sure. And that's the difference. I think a lot of young pitchers who have really strong arms do have to find that. Yeah, the difference, and but I think even in his short time before he got hurt, I think we saw that he had the ability to do that.
Yeah, it'll be exciting to have him healthy.
Got Sox. Him and Giolito,
mm-hmm.
You know these young guys. Now you've added Dallas Keuchel to the rotation,
mm-hmm.
Gio Gonzalez, mm-hmm. maybe at the back end. So
the Cubs could use a few of those guys.
Yeah.
It's Sox Fest weekend at McCormick Place. More on that coming up. Well, apparently my probationary period is over here because when I came into work this morning, I found this.
It's a windy city morning. Bob Surratt, Radio Chicago, WGN.
So I figured Well, they had to spend at least $100, $200 on that, so they probably wouldn't have done that if I was still in my probationary period. So thanks to the management for that. Hope you enjoyed it. It is one of the demands I made. I'll admit it. I told my agent, okay, I'll take the job, but I must have my own jingle. It'll make me feel right at home. I have been told, though, not by anybody here, but by someone who lives with me at home, to stop rattling papers. Apparently, my wife is very annoyed at paper rattling. Have you found this to be true? Have you noticed that there's a lot of paper rattling here in the morning? Have you been annoyed by that? Anybody?
Well, I work with you, but I certainly wouldn't want to disagree with Mrs. Surratt.
Yeah,
Dave always takes the diplomatic approach.
Yeah. It's show business. There's a show and then there's business. I have a lot of paperwork here. And people make fun of me because I do go through good old-fashioned newspapers, but I have a lot of other notes here, and my ad-libs are all written down. So there's a lot to go through here, but I'll try to not rattle the papers anywhere.
And just tell Marianne that you're putting it into your recycling bin down by your feet, right?
That's
that blue recycling bin?
Uh-huh.
Good. There you go.
Yeah, I think what it is I know she listens online either with that, either on WGNRadio.com or that app we were talking about earlier this morning, one of the apps. And I think it's more prominent if you're listening that way because the sound quality is a lot better. Like if you're listening on your smartphone or on computers, than it is if you're on the old-fashioned radio. So apparently the paper rattling is much more annoying if you're listening online. Sorry. So I'll stop. I'll stop doing this.
It might not just be you. We all have papers. Well, I rattle my papers once in a while.
Well, apparently not to the point where anybody's noticed. You know, do you use whitener in your coffee? This is the latest thing to worry about. Coffee whiteners are everywhere. They're at work, meetings, workshops, even parties given by people who are otherwise committed to fresh food, backyard gardens, and composting. Like some kind of stealth bomber, coffee whiteners now have slipped in under the radar, and the health experts are saying these Trojan horses are filled with diabetes, obesity, heart attacks, and strokes. A visit to a local supermarket reveals a few interesting facts about coffee whiteners, also known as non-dairy creamers. These products are a study in advertising spin. The packages specify the size of a single serving, a teaspoon of powder, a tablespoon of liquid, but the ads actually encourage people to use more than the stated serving amount, often encouraging consumers with words like scoop or pour. The experts say, remember, the more manufactured a product, the more creative its name. One popular creamer you'll find on the grocery store shelf comes in regular, sugar-free, and fat-free versions, all of which list the same first three ingredients in the same order. And though they contain no milk sugar, coffee whiteners are not non-dairy. Most contain a milk derivative called sodium caseinate. I think that's how you say it. People who are allergic to milk protein cannot consume them. All of this seems very strange. So, apparently a healthier solution, just don't use coffee whiteners. You can use cream from a cow, as Orion would want you to do, half and half, or milk in your coffee. Something else to think about this morning. It's 7:23. And one of the fun things about being here is catching up with former colleagues and friends like Terry Savage. And Terry, you notice I didn't say old colleagues. Good morning. How
good
you doing?
Good for you. Good for you. Terry,
as you know, Terry is a nationally syndicated financial columnist and best-selling author of many books on money. And let's talk for a minute here this morning with Terry about something we're all too familiar with. The holiday bills have come in. Consumer spending was way up, and we're all struggling with this now, aren't we, Terry?
About 80% of us are. That's what a survey done out recently said. 80% of the people won't be able to pay off their holiday credit card debt in January. In other words, you are shopping online, and you know your number by heart, or you have it actually put in there on Amazon so you can just click. And of those people, 80% that won't pay it off, 15% will be making minimum monthly payments. That gives you a sigh of relief. Okay, I'm in good standing. But it means you could drag out your payments for 25 or 30 years.
So I think people also struggle with what to pay off first. And I know you have a plan on this. I want to get to that in a second. But talk about what we need to do that will help us get through this post-holiday mess and make not make the situation worse than it is.
Okay, so let me put this in perspective for a moment. This is the best economic period of recovery almost ever in our history. And we've had 10 years of increasing employment. You know, unemployment's the lowest. Wages are coming up now. People can find jobs. To be buried in debt right now is insane. In fact, just this morning, FICO, the FICO scores created by Fair Isaac Company, said they're going to get tougher on consumer scoring. And what they're taking a look at is how your progression of debt is climbing, because they notice that consumers, although they're current because they've got a salary, could be in real trouble if they lose a job or lose overtime. Eventually, there'll be a recession. So there's two different ways to approach this. One is, oh my gosh, just give me time. Don't make me pay those high interest charges, and then maybe I could pay it off real quick. In that case, you might want to do a balanced transfer to a card that'll give you 18 months interest free. And you can find those at comparecards.com. But a word of caution, if you haven't paid it off in that interest-free period, the interest rate on that card will jump dramatically. So, and the other thing is, when you transfer a balance from one card to another one, give up your old card. You don't have to close the account, but put it away, bury it in your sock drawer. Because if you charge up the original card after you've transferred a balance, you're going to be in horrible trouble 18 months from now.
Should we be checking our credit scores?
Oh, yeah. Go to creditkarma.com or Discover, or most banks now allow you to get your credit score. It's interesting. I won't ask you, but I bet you remember your SAT scores. I think what's taken over as the most important number is your credit score. And it makes a huge difference in the interest rates you'll pay on everything from mortgage loans, for example. It'll even impact what you pay for life insurance, believe it or not, your credit score.
I don't even remember taking my SAT, let alone the number. But
that's because you were a genius and you skipped right to radio at age 16.
Sure. That was it. and now, as far as a plan going forward, I know you're going to say, take your credit cards out of your wallet, don't use them. But we can't do that. We need them.
Like, I need chocolate. But let me give you a plan just to pay them down. Start with one card. The first thing is you need to know where you stand, so don't hide. All those bills are coming in now, and you're scattering around the house. One's on your desk, one's in your briefcase. Put them all in a pile. Write down the current balances, the current minimum monthly payment, and the interest rate. Pick a card. Take that card and put a little sticker on your computer. That's where you probably pay your bills. Double the current minimum monthly payment. And then pay that same amount every month, not double next month's minimum, but this current double the minimum payment for this month. Pay the same amount every month. Don't charge another penny on the card or it breaks the chain, like a chain letter. And I promise you, your card will be paid off in less than 3 years, doubling the current monthly minimum. Keep paying that amount.
Should we first pay down credit cards that have the most money on them, or always go for the one that has the highest interest rate and pay that off first?
Okay, well, you should start with the one with the highest interest rate. Strangely enough, that's probably the one where you have the most charge. It's so intimidating. The first thing I like to do is tell people, find the one that was the newer card. You only put $278 on it. Pay that one off and get rid of that one so bills aren't coming every month, or a bill that says you owe zero, where are you? And then start with the highest interest rate card and pay it down as fast as you can. But just dribs and drabs won't do it. Now, people say to me, I mean, I know that people are there saying, oh, easy for her to say just double the minimum. My minimum is $200. Where would I find $400? This is the moment, folks. This is the moment where it would be easy to find that money, not by scrounging or scrimping on something else, but find a weekend job. Don't be the patron in the bar. Be the bartender or the server. Don't be the shopper in the store. Be someone who's working behind the counter. It's not a lifetime thing, but if you can just for the next 6, 8, or 10 months earn an extra $400 a month, you could get those credit card bills paid off a lot faster. It's the interest that kills you, not what you originally charged.
And before we let you go this morning, Terry, I was noticing the headlines today, Dow Jones futures slump on China virus. What are you forecasting for the coming days?
Well, let me tell you something. Yesterday, Bob, I did my, believe this or not, 40th anniversary of the moderating the Chicago Executives Club economic forecast lunch. Our forecasters had a wide disparity, but all of them were over 30,000 in their forecast for Dow at the end of the year. I asked the audience a simple question as of yesterday at lunchtime. How many, and it was 2,000 people, how many of you think the market will be higher next year this time and how many lower? And it was about an even split. We've had a 10-year bull market. I believe in the long run, you just got to keep investing in your 401k plan, especially younger people. And I also advise people who are approaching retirement, this could be the time to get more conservative. What will make you feel worse? You miss another 2,000 or 3,000 points on the Dow, or you miss a market crash that could take a third of your money away. That's how you have to look at it.
Terry Savage. You can get more at terrysavage.com, and hopefully we'll get more good advice from you again next week here, Terry. Great talking to you.
Thanks. Love being with you, Bob.
Thank you very much. Well, all right. We took care of your money, and we'll take care of your love life after the 7:30 news.
Bob Surratt.
That music can mean only one thing. We're joined now by relationship expert Bella Gandhi of the Smart Dating Academy. Good morning, Bella.
Good morning.
You are often seen on ABC, Good Morning America, and I know you've got a segment coming up that you're working on today. Who are you making over, exactly?
So we found a deserving single mom, and we are gifting her with a total makeover, and a coaching session. So she's going to start out today getting dating tips, being a single mom, just getting back out there. She's young. She's 34. She needs a little zhuzh up, so we're giving her a cut and a color.
A little what?
A little zhuzh. Uh-huh. That's my word. I don't know how to spell it. I think it's like a ZH, but let's just go with that. And then we're Banana Republic has given her 5 different outfits from head to toe. She's going to look amazing. And then my company is doing her photo shoot.
Nice.
For online dating.
Who is using your company? Who are the people who are online looking for mates? What age group?
You know, we've had clients, Bob, as young as 22, but really our sweeter spot now is people that are a little older, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s. So we're really helping people. Some people have never been married, but the majority are coming out of divorced. Maybe some have been widowed. So, you know, everybody wants the lid to their pot.
And the stigma is really gone now, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, what, a couple of weeks ago, Sharon Stone had her profile on Bumble, and Bumble deleted it because they said, well, you're impersonating Sharon Stone. She's like, no,
it really is me.
It really is me. And Brad Pitt, the first thing he said at the SAG Awards this week when he held his award up is, wow, I'm going to put this on my Tinder profile. Yeah. So you guys, if you think nobody's doing it and there's only degenerate people on there, I'm here to tell you everybody is doing it.
You must have loved that Brad Pitt line. So are people honest when they're on these dating apps and services online? I mean, you know, how do you know somebody is telling the truth about themselves?
Well, you've got to take a little bit of a leap of faith. I think sometimes when people start the process, they might be willing to, you know, white lie it up a little bit, understate the age, understate the weight, use old pictures. But you quickly start to see that those little lies become big deal breakers, right? So I think people start off doing it. But in today's day and age, you know, it's the first massive act of self-sabotage to lie online. Because your goal is to get to the date. And people want to date the person in the picture. So if you've got old, beautiful, glammed up shots, but someone else different shows up to the date, game over.
And do you find people are pickier than ever?
Yeah. And you know what's really interesting? I have a lot of clients that are in their 50s and 60s, and they, interestingly, become pickier because they're like, you know what? I did the whole bad marriage thing once. I got married to have kids. That was kind of a debacle. This time around, I really want to pick someone who I'm attracted to and I have fun with.
I want to get into marital spats. Well, also arguments when you're just dating, for that matter. I'll tell you about something that happened in our house last night. And if you have a question or a call or a text, here is the number, 312-981-7200, for relationship expert Bella Gandhi, 312-981-7200. That's phone number. Also the text number. More coming up momentarily. Continuing our conversation with a relationship expert from Smart Dating Academy, Bella Gandhi, who is frequently on ABC's Good Morning America. Bella, before we talk about the best way to stop a fight, I want to tell you what happened in my house here last night. I made the mistake of asking my wife why she is now leaving the job of emptying the dishwasher and making the bed for when I get home. And by the way, I really hate making the bed because I never can do it properly. And, you know, I got to make so many trips around the bed on either side. It's really a pain.
It doesn't just look as pretty.
Never. Right. When she makes it, it's great. But she leaves it for me. And so here's what she said to me. She said, "You need to strengthen your first chakra, the lower part of your body. And by doing these tasks that you might think of as menial, it helps ground you because you're using your hands and your mind to feed yourself. And so if you get into these small details of these tasks, it's actually good for you." What a crock that was. What does that mean?
I love it. Good rationale.
I knew you'd love it.
Right. She's a smart lady. She's like, this is why this is good for you. ... silent. And me. So how did that work?
Well, it shut me up, you know. But thank goodness I have this microphone to, you know, give myself some therapy and get it out. But anyway, the point here is that it's all about compromise, whether you're married, you're dating. Is that the key to, before you talk about stopping a fight, let's talk about avoiding fights.
Yeah, I mean, avoiding fights comes down to good day-to-day communication. And I know that that sounds trite, but a lot of fights really are just us suppressing what we really want to say because we don't want to have a fight. So we become like pressure cookers, right? And then it explodes all over the place. So just day-to-day in that moment, finding nice ways to communicate what you want to communicate. So I like what Marianne did. She didn't say, you know what? I'm so sick of making the bed and you're lazy. And she's like, this is actually good for you and your first chakra.
Well, wow. What it did was it didn't fire me up more.
Yeah.
And of course, if she would have taken that other tactic, it would have. But not, you know, not everybody has a radio show to get it out. How important is it to just talk to other people and your friends about things like that? Guys tend not to share that kind of information. Women talk all the time. How important is it to you sort of bounce these things off somebody else?
A lot of times it feels really healthy and good. I know when I tell people I'm a dating and relationship coach, you know, it's like saying that you're a doctor at a party. It's like, hey, doc, my knee hurts. So immediately people want to talk about their relationship. So if you feel like you don't have a good outlet to do that, you don't have a supportive village, or you just don't want to hang your laundry around people that you know, get a therapist. Like, it's worth its weight in gold. It will change your life. And even if you said you can roll your eyes and say, say, well, I've tried therapy, it didn't work. Guess what? You've got to interview therapists, just like you would interview anybody, right? And find good chemistry with your therapist.
Yeah, I think fortunately, too, the stigma about that is not what it used to be.
No.
And it's ridiculous because you go to a doctor for your physical health, you should be seeing somebody if you can for your mental health. And I think we got to do a better job of educating our kids in that department at the lower school levels, too. So stopping a fight. Okay, you want to stop it before it escalates. What are some things we can do?
You know, especially if you've been in a relationship for a long time. I mean, this happens with my husband and me. It happens. I've got a 16-year-old and a 12-year-old. So we've got like a good petri dish of things that we can argue about. And you tend to slip into old patterns. So now we've created the strategy called de-escalation. And as soon as voices start to rise and we get into, you know, because you push buttons and you can go from 0 to 100, someone gets to call stop, right? And it's like, hey, guys, we're escalating, stop. And I equate it to my kids. It's like, look, even boxers in the middle of a fight, they go back to their corners, right? Mm-hmm. So de-escalating, when you call stop, all of us can do it, and it just means let's all go back to our corners for 20 to 30 minutes. It has been game-changing for all of us, even with the kids. Like, they know, like, don't walk away from this fight. I said, I'm not walking away from it. We're just, let's take a minute. Let's breathe. And the human being does not take long to come back down to balance again. It's phenomenal.
Tell me if I'm wrong here. Show me a couple that does not fight. Show me a couple that doesn't argue, and I'll show you a couple in trouble.
Amen. If you look, you put two people together in the same space, you will have conflict. It just is what it is. And if you're not fighting, Bob, that's so right. It means somebody is giving in or somebody is not communicating. When people tell me, oh my gosh, we've never had a fight, I'm like, wow, you will.
And
it'll be a biggie.
And our kids learn by example, right? Not by lecture, but they observe us and they soak in how we're getting along or not getting along, and may pick up ideas about what they should be looking for in a spouse at a young age.
They sure do. And you can imagine what goes on in my house, right? I'm looking at the love notes that my 10-year-old boy gets from girls at school. I'm like, that's going to be a crazy girl when she grows up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. The girls are complicated at that age.
We're complicated. We're very textured, I like to say, from day one.
Textured.
Yeah. Yes, we're complex, like good wine. But no, I think it's really what you're saying about kids and absorbing the environment at home is really important. Like the first time my kids heard Andy, my husband, and I argue, they're like, are you going to get a divorce? Because they see you arguing. And I said to them, any person, it's okay to have conflict as long as you manage it. You're not mean to each other. You don't use mean words. And the goal of this argument is to get your relationship to a better place. So don't be afraid of conflict.
We always hear about these success stories, people who have met using a service like yours, the Smart Dating Academy. Why do people fail, though? What happens when it doesn't work out? What are some common problems that you see?
People just quit. That's the biggest problem. They say, you know what? I've got a pretty good life as it is. I don't want to do this online thing, or I've been burned a few times. Just, I'm better off on my own. I don't want to get hurt again. But along with that comes, like, you know, I'm lonely. I want to find someone. So the biggest mistake is quitting or doing the same thing over and over again. If you've had a series of bad relationships with toxic people, you can't say that you attract bad people. You're accepting the bad. So the common denominator is you.
And do people now get on more than one of these apps? Should they?
One or two, max. That's what I say. If people sometimes come to me like, hey, Bella, I'm on 8 dating apps. Why isn't this working for me? I'm like, what of 8 will work for you? Slim it down to 1 or 2.
You know what? I talk to so many people now who are finding mates on sites like yours, and it seems like, to me, it still would be easier if you set up some in-person meeting. And I know there are many organizations that do this. It's just lunch or whatever they are. What about doing it that way?
I mean, you can. The issue, I think those services were great, especially pre-internet, right? Because you are a paying member, they're a paying member. It's like joining a club. And then you can go out with the people that are in their quote-unquote inventory. And then it stops there. So use, if you use online dating, heck, you've got the population of the world at your fingertips. You can adjust your apps. Let's say you're going to New York in a month. You can put your pin down in New York, and you can start swiping for people that are in New York. So when you're there for a week, you might have a nice dinner date.
It's so much easier now to meet people, isn't it?
It is easier, but the mechanics of picking the right people are still hard. Knowing red flags, knowing green flags, and that's ultimately what we do at Smart Dating Academy. We're like going to school to learn how to have a good relationship.
Let me get in a couple of quick texts from 630. We've been married 57 years. We called them discussions.
I love that.
And I know the answer to this, but you can speak to this for a second from 773. What about when it gets physical? What do you do?
Yeah, that's I have my own opinions on that. If it gets physical, to me, it's a deal breaker. You need to go through some counseling, and you need to it doesn't sound like that's where you, whoever wrote this in, want it to be. So you definitely need to get some help, because that stuff doesn't go away on its own.
Get help. Yeah,
get help
for sure.
Get help.
Bella Gandhi, relationship expert. I'm going to go home today, work on my first chakra. I don't know about you, but
send us a picture of what the bed looks like, how the corners look. I want to see it all.
Oh, no, you don't. Have a nice day, Bella, and we'll talk to you again next week. The news is coming up next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. Ten after eight, Dean Richards is off this week watching the entertainment scene. He is Alicia Quarles of Daily Mail TV. You watch Daily Mail TV here on Channel 9, weekday afternoons at 3 p.m. Good morning, Alicia. How are you doing today?
I'm well. How are you?
Good. Anxious to hear about Game of Thrones. What's the news on this?
Okay, so you know a lot of us were disappointed with how it ended, basically. So now the creator is saying that it wasn't supposed to end that way. He wanted to end it at season 7, but he says HBO said, no, 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 let's go on. So he says, basically, there could have been another ending, a better ending that we all wanted to have.
So the deal was the final season was meant to be 3 films? Is that what the writer said?
It was. It was supposed to be 3 separate movies instead of that one final season, and really that final episode that a lot of us were upset with. He says it's supposed to be 3 separate movies. He said, quote, at the moment, it's not my place to decide because the rights to Game of Thrones belong to HBO. He wanted to have it be movies instead of just ending as it did.
All right, now on to why Whoopi Goldberg was in tears.
Whoopi Goldberg was in tears because she's coming back to the Star Trek. So she appeared on Star Trek from 1988 to 1993. She was the best acting experience of her life. So on The View, her show that she is a moderator for, she had somebody on there, Patrick, who said, listen, he was doing an interview. And he said, listen, we want to invite you back. And Whoopi just started crying. She was so excited that the whole crew and cast want to have her back to reprise her role.
And it's now official. Tell us about Captain Marvel.
Captain Marvel. Okay, so Captain Marvel, this is a big deal. Do you know what's going on? Because I do. Little teaser. Basically, Disney is saying, Captain Marvel, all of their rights, that there's going to be a sequel coming up, and that they want it to be a woman this time. So that's a big deal.
Got it. Oh, by the way, I saw Dolomite finally. Watched it on Netflix last night. Have you seen it?
Think I have seen that was the premiere with Eddie Murphy. I did.
Yeah, I thought Eddie Murphy was great. I thought the movie was a lot of fun. I really, really enjoyed it. And I forgot. Is it nominated for any Academy Award?
No Academy Awards, but of course nominated for Golden Globes, SAGs. But it, you know, this is a character that made him famous. Dolomite is actually a real person, so it's based off of that. I enjoyed it. I have to be honest with you. At the premiere, I fell asleep though.
You did.
No. I did.
Come on.
It's a little long.
Yeah, you know what?
It's a little long.
It was long, but you know, I didn't realize it afterwards because it flew by for me because I enjoyed it. All right, we'll get to Wendy Williams, Jada Pinkett, and the Dave Matthews Band here momentarily. Also, we'll play a clip from Our conversation with Ernie Banks. This is the five-year anniversary of Ernie passing away, and I think you'll be interested in hearing what Ernie had to say when we talked to him about 6 years ago here on WGN. Dean Richards is back Monday. Alicia Quarles from Daily Mail TV keeping us updated here on what's happening in the world of entertainment. Around here, Alicia, we're excited because the Dave Matthews Band announced they're going to be doing two concerts at the Huntington Bank Pavilion, Northerly Island, June 26 and 27. Have you ever seen Dave Matthews?
I have. Dave Matthews is excellent. I've seen him perform many times.
Yep, that's going to be a good one.
It's going to be a good one. The summer tour starts June 16th, goes through September 23rd, and as you said, they'll be in your neck of the woods early on in the tour, so that's exciting.
June 26 and 27. Let's talk about Jada Pinkett Smith's Red Table Talk. What exactly is this?
It's a talk show that's on YouTube, and I actually really love it. It's a show with her mother and her daughter, so there's three generations of women, and just really talking about everything that we talk about as women. So it's really cool. But the news is that Gloria Estefan and her daughters are doing a spinoff in Miami, and they're going to do their own Red Table Talks.
Really? When does that start? That's going to be this year?
It's going to be in 2020. So they said the Red Table Talks, the Estefans coming to you in 2020, Gloria wrote. So blessed to have the opportunity to work with so many women. So yeah, it's coming this year, and it's just a really awesome forum. It's basically what women talk about around the kitchen table with your mother, your daughters, your aunts. So it's expanding.
Fun. All right, now you have the Wendy Williams marriage update for us.
Yes, well, Wendy Williams is officially on the market, so she went through that very messy divorce. Her husband was cheating on her and had a baby while they were still married. So now the divorce is finalized. She is going to sell her New Jersey home. They will split the profits of that. He has rights to one home, she has rights to another, and then he's going to relinquish the rights to her TV show. She'll be the full owner in that, and that there you have it.
And finally, give us your Daily Mail TV exclusive for today.
Oh, I love that. Thank you very much. Well, Daily Mail, we're all about Super Bowl right now. So we've got the in on a performer, big, big name. Can't announce it yet, but watch the show. He's going to be performing at Super Bowl. It hasn't been announced yet. That's what we're working on today.
And you may also squeeze this in on the show at 3 o'clock today on Channel 9. Trending is this clip. I guess people were recording James Corden doing a carpool karaoke bit, and the pictures that are trending reveal that he's not even driving, that there's a truck pulling the car. I guess this is supposed to be some scandal or something. I don't know.
It is scandalous. I love that you brought that up. Thank you for that. We'll be running that as well. Have you ever seen carpool karaoke? It's a big deal. That is scandalous. He's not really driving.
There you go. Alicia Quarles, Daily Mail TV. Thanks, Alicia.
Bye.
Have a good day. It's 8:21. As we mentioned earlier, 5 years ago today, Ernie Banks passed away. And back in January of 2014... almost a year to the date of that, we talked to him, Marianne and I did, on our WGN Midday show at that time. And it's pretty interesting to hear what he had to say, especially about how he wanted people to remember him. So from January of 2014, here we are with Ernie Banks. And it was right after the Hall of Fame class of that year was announced, and we started the conversation by asking Ernie Banks what he thought about the folks going into the hall that year.
Were they nice guys? They all are. Frank Thomas is a wonderful person. I played in a lot of his golf tournaments. I followed him a lot, playing. You know, he won two MVPs just like I did, and he just became a great person.
His personality, didn't develop fully until very late, right?
Yeah, late. But, you know, he was there. And I remember one time I met him in Las Vegas, and he was having dinner and all that. He called me, Ernie, how you doing? Boy, they should give you the cup. That's when I wanted to buy the cup. They should give you that.
Did you really want to buy the cups?
Yeah, I had a group of people to buy the cups. I did, and talked to them about it, and you know, it didn't work out. They told me it wasn't for sale. I talked to Mr. Wrigley. I talked to the son. And I had people who had money to back me up to buy it. And
what an owner Ernie Banks would have been, huh?
Yeah.
Can you imagine? Let's talk about the honor recently bestowed upon you in Washington, D.C. You're wearing the medal today. The people who are at the convention tonight will see that. What was it like at the White House and with the president?
Well, it was just remarkable. I mean, I've been to Washington many times, and I met Barack many times before he became president, but it was just wonderful being there, meeting the people. They were very, very nice, and I had two people that I really loved to come there and join that with me, Billy Williams and Ferguson Jenkins. They were there with me, and
nice.
It made me feel real good, and that Tom Ricketts, he came, and it was just wonderful. I mean, just being there and seeing all the people who went in the wars. Oprah Winfrey, I was thinking about her, you know, and talked to her a little bit. I said, Oprah, one of these days, me and you are going to win the Nobel Peace Prize.
What did she say?
She looked at me and said, what?
Do you have moments anymore where you feel like you're dreaming, or you have to pinch yourself because you've been honored so often by so many? It's sort of natural now that this happens to you. But how do you feel?
Well, you know, it's exciting. You know, I look at things that they're there. You enjoy them, and you know, get overexcited about them. I met Sally Ride's mate, and was talking to her because she's got a foundation that deals with STEM. You know what STEM is?
Stem cell research. Yeah, and you met the woman, her partner, who accepted the award.
That's correct.
Yeah,
talked to her about it, and you know, she wanted to. I want to do that anyway. That's one of the foundations I want to get involved in. Is train kids in math and science to go to MIT and become nuclear physicists and graduate and change this world.
That's been a theme of yours for a long time, Ernie.
Banks still dreams big. He's more interested in other people all the time. And before you leave, you know, we don't often interview statues, so I want to ask you about this. You said one time that you want people to think about you, and it's nice when they see the statue, and years from now they will be able to read about your accomplishments on the field. But other things are more important to you than that. Talk about that.
Yes, it really is. I mean, statues are very nice, but many people that come around it, they don't know what you did. They don't know anything about you. They see the statue, right? Oh, yeah, he was here. And what did he do?
They're too young.
They're too young, and I always thought about that. I mean, and I want to be like Rodin. You ever heard of Rodin? I got a statue of Rodin. You all ever heard of him?
Yeah. Sounds like a Japanese monster movie.
No, Rodin was a great thinker.
Oh, no, that Rodin, yes, Rodin,
a philosopher,
right?
Uh-huh.
So I had one drone of me to put out here at Millennium Park.
And you were in the thinking position with your knuckles underneath your chin.
That's right.
You thought a lot, yeah.
The thinker.
Yeah, I did a lot of that. I was a thinker when I played. Thinking is a big part of the game. Is thinking, and you know, I look at the players. You know, the guys that went into the Hall of Fame. You know, Greg Maddux and Tom Glavine, and how they played the game. They were thinking people. Maddux was just a thinking player. I mean, that's the pitcher. I mean, he just thought.
But you want people to think about you in terms of other things you have done in life. And by the way, the thinker was the sculpture by Rodin, Auguste Rodin.
Auguste Rodin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, but you want people to be aware of the other things, accomplishments in your life, don't you?
Yes, I do. I really do. And when I played, you know, playing was one thing, but knowing who I am is another thing. That many people that I met, other than Jack Brickhouse, and the statue's right out here. Jack Brickhouse was one guy that stood in my corner, and I met him later on, and he really supported me away from the field, and then I went up to broadcast with him one time, and He was just a wonderful person to me, and I had a lot of good times with him.
Ernie Banks can't get him to talk about himself. I keep trying, though. We have to break for news, and I'll see you later on over at the Cubs convention.
All right, I'll get you a hot dog.
And, Thank you so much, Ernie.
Let's eat two hot dogs today. Ernie Banks, our conversation from just about 6 years ago today. He passed away 5 years ago today. And, of course, the Medal of Freedom we referred to there was President Obama giving him that medal. He was wearing it during our interview, the Presidential Medal of Freedom. I still miss Ernie, don't you?
No, I think everybody does.
Yeah, especially when you start hearing about baseball and spring training and all of that. Can you imagine if Ernie Banks somehow got it together to buy the Cubs?
No, I really can't.
There'd be a lot of noon doubleheaders.
I would think, yes.
Yeah. He would, you know, just when you thought that he was sort of really too flaky to remember certain things, he'd surprise you by bringing something up from years ago. And every once in a while, when you thought he wasn't with it, he would do that to you. Yes. He was a fascinating character in many ways. I want to read the book. I haven't read the book, but I understand that biography is really good, really gets to the real Ernie Banks.
The one that it was around... I'm trying to think who wrote it. Ron Rappaport, I want to say.
I think, let me check. It got great reviews, and it was supposed to be really the first time somebody really got beyond the Mr. Sunshine, Let's Play 2 aspects of this guy. Here, it's coming up right here. Ernie Banks biography. Help us here. I want to give the proper credit.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was Ron.
Ron Rappaport, And I want to get into that, too. And also, I mean, I know from time to time he would talk about Jackie Robinson and the real problems he had coming up in Major League Baseball, which, you know, he didn't really talk about that much.
Right.
Coming up, we'll talk a little bit about Restaurant Week in Chicago. There are so many restaurants with these special offers. How do you find the ones that are the best? Well, somebody's done that work for you, and we'll talk to her right after the news. Chicago Restaurant Week is coming right up. The first one took place back in 2008. About 35 restaurants participated. And now we have hundreds and hundreds, I think 400. Now, it starts tomorrow. It goes through February 9th, so it's actually 17 days. Restaurants in the city and suburbs have 2- and 3-course lunches for special prices. Also, weekend brunches, 3- and 4-course dinners. Some restaurants have lunch only or dinner only. Some have both or all three. In nearly every case, the restaurant's regular menus also are available. But the problem is, how do you choose? Now, they say you can go to the city's tourism agency site, Choose Chicago, and they have on their website a place where you can find the complete list of participants, the menus, and a link to make online reservations via Open Table. However, someone has done the work for you. Let's say hello to Amanda Topper, food and drink writer, restaurant industry expert, and blogger. And tell us, Amanda, how you figured out who had the best deals here. What did you do? What was your research?
Yeah, thanks, Bob. Well, it's a tough job, but someone's got to do it, right?
That's right.
Uh-huh. Not everyone has time to look through that list of over 400 restaurants. So I think when it comes down to finding a good deal, it comes down to three major areas. One, looking for restaurants that have an actual deal on their menu. A lot of times the best deals for Restaurant Week are ones that have entrees that are normally more than the cost of that 3-course meal.
And now some of the restaurants have the special deals just for brunch or just for lunch or just for dinner. Is that how it works?
Right. So a restaurant can choose to participate in brunch, lunch, or dinner. Some participate in all three, others just one or two. So there's a lot of really great deals to be found. And I think probably the best deal of the entire Restaurant Week right now, I think, is Prime and Provision. So Great Steakhouse and The Loop. They have a $24 brunch buffet. So we're talking all-you-can-eat brunch food that's typically $59. So a huge discount over that normal price.
Prime and Provisions, they're downtown here.
Right on Wacker.
Are some of the Chicago Restaurant Week places actually in the suburbs?
Yeah, this year we have about 50 restaurants in the suburbs that are also participating. So this is not just limited to people who want to come down to the city.
Did you find any spectacular deals outside of the city?
I did. You know, a lot of great steakhouses in the suburbs like Capital Grill, and also I would recommend Elwood's in Lincolnwood. They have a great three-course dinner menu for $36. It features a lot of dishes that are typically on their regular menu.
Now, this Restaurant Week deal happens in other cities now, too, and was the idea behind it, this is the toughest time of year to get folks into restaurants because of the weather, so let's do a special promotion, and do they do it around the country now?
Yeah, we'll find restaurant deals across the country, and you're absolutely right, Bob. This is sort of a dead time, typically, for the restaurant industry here, so they're really hoping to increase foot traffic in January and February.
And as you checked all of these restaurants out, any other highlights you want to pass along? Because if you go through this list, I mean, it's impossible.
Right.
What did I say? There's like 300, 400 now.
Yeah.
What else did you like? What else was really a tremendous deal?
So I would recommend a few restaurants that opened last year. These are hot restaurants. I'd say Cabra in the West Loop, and Galit, which is a Middle Eastern restaurant in Lincoln Park. So Galit is offering their typical multi-course dinner for $48, and typically that's $65, so great discount there.
And this is going to go on now actually almost 2 weeks, isn't it?
Right. It's a little over 2 weeks, actually.
Starting tomorrow.
Starting tomorrow through February 9th.
Great. Okay. Did we cover all the main tips? Want to leave us with one more?
Sure.
Go ahead.
So in addition to looking for a really good deal on food, I'd say look out for some restaurants that are offering discounts on drinks. So, for example, Fermentos in the West Loop is offering a $20 wine pairing option. And we're also seeing some great deals from Nacional 27 in River North. They're offering $10 margaritas or mojitos along with their three-course dinner menu.
Now, can people like check in with you to get some of these deals and the information? Because if you go on the website, there's too many restaurants there, and you know you can't cut through it all. How do folks get in touch with you or read what you had to say?
Right. So I'll be releasing an article this week for Thrillist Chicago on the best deals, and then feel free to follow me on Instagram at Amanda Topper.
Great. And for reservations now, do you call the restaurants? Do you go on Open Table? What's the best way?
I would highly recommend making a reservation. I know that some restaurants will take walk-ins, but most of the participating restaurants can be found on Open Table.
Great. More on Instagram at Amanda Topper. Great. Thanks for doing this work for us and coming in this morning, Amanda.
Thanks so much.
All right. Have a great day. Breakfast with a Blackhawk time. And Kendall Coyne is on the line with us. Kendall was an Olympic gold medalist with Team USA in the 2018 Winter Olympics. And a lot of folks know about the As Fast As Her feature on Blackhawks.com and other places. Good morning to you, Kendall. How you doing?
Hi, guys. Thanks so much for having me.
Well, it's good to talk to you and find out what's going on with you. Dave Ennett here with us to talk about first the Blackhawks and what's going on. It's break time, isn't it, Kendall?
It is break time for everyone but Patrick Kane. I'm sure he's on his way to St. Louis right now to appear in his ninth All-Star weekend, which is incredible.
Well, when do you head for St. Louis?
I am going to get off the phone with you guys, and I'm going to pack the car and driving up with my parents and my husband shortly here.
Well, this is a really cool thing. Kendall, last year, I thought it was one of the highlights of All-Star Weekend and the skills competition, the fastest skater, and now the elite women's three-on-three game is something new as part of All-Star Weekend in St. Louis. Give us an idea of what fans can expect from that.
Yeah, I'm super excited for this. I mean, the fact that the NHL invited 20 women, this is the third year in a row women have been incorporated in the NHL All-Star Weekend. Back in 2018, my teammate Hillary Knight took second unofficially to Brian Boyle in the accuracy shooting. Last year, my teammate Brianna Decker unofficially took second to Leon Draisaitl in the premier passing. And, of course, most people know I skated and competed in the fastest skater. So to finally be able to put all that together, passing, skating, and shooting, and to be able to play three-on-three against our arch rivals, Team Canada, it's going to be electrifying. And what most people don't know is we actually play four-on-four internationally for overtime. And this is the first year that they changed the rules. And we haven't had an international competition yet. So this is really the tester for all of us. And, you know, come the World Championships in April, if there's an overtime game, we'll see 3-on-3.
Kendall, did you start skating when you were, like, 2 years old? Are you one of those people?
I started skating when I was 3 years old because of my older brother, who was in hockey at 6, and my parents brought me to the rink and put me in figure skates, and I said I want to do what he does, and that was hockey. So I started at 3 and haven't looked back since.
Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Palos Heights, and my first pair of skates and was at the Arctic Ice Arena, formerly known as the Orland Park Ice Arena.
Okay, so what would you do with me? Now, I'm still a guy who occasionally I get to an ice skating rink and, you know, I'm pulling myself along against the boards. That's my skating style. What's the basic lesson for people who are trying to get better ice skating?
I would say the first is to be fearless and to believe in yourself, especially if you're older. You're more aware of your balance and you're more aware of the idea that you can fall, except when you're 3 and 4, you fall, you get back up, and you have no idea, you just want to go fast. So I think it's being fearless and getting comfortable on your edges. It is a lot of balance to be on hockey skates, but once you get used to it, it's like riding a bike. And I think, I would say balance is a big thing.
Yeah, Kendall is directing that at older people. Dave, I hope you were paying attention. That was for you.
I was. The As Fast As Her first debuted yesterday on ChicagoBlackhawks.com, and it's a really cool, I guess it's a documentary. It's sort of a profile of Kendall, the fastest skater competition last year. There are appearances in there from Patrick Kane, your husband Michael, who's a professional athlete as well, and Cami Granato, who is a special inspiration, it sounds like, to you, Kendall. What's the connection there?
Yeah, I first off wanted to say thank you to the Blackhawks organization for sharing my story in such a beautiful way, and this documentary was a year in the making. They approached me, Eric Lear, from the Blackhawks a year ago, and have been following me around since, and they traveled from coast to coast, whether it was Vancouver to see Cami or New York to see me at NHL Network. They put their heart and soul into this documentary, and it was it's turned out so well, and I've heard from so many people. And I think what's so special about the story is it's so relevant to so many girls and women who grew up in the same time frame as I did, and even before, like Cami's generation, and we experienced, the same challenges. And what makes me most excited is to see these young girls that I come across every day in the rink, and hoping that their story is a little bit different than ours, and they're respected a little bit more in the rink, and it's normal for them to play hockey. And I definitely think we're getting there. But the connection to Cami, I always wanted to be Chris Chelios. If you watch the film, you'll see me as a little tyke with my number 7 jersey on at the Junior Blackhawks event at the United Center, and until I met Cami, and then that's when I realized, okay, girls do play hockey, because at that point in my life, girls didn't play hockey, and I was told I shouldn't play hockey. And I met Cami, and she pushed me to chase something that would change my life forever. That's being a member of Team USA and wanting to be at the pinnacle of the sport in hockey for women, and that was the Olympics.
Do you think that, and let me preface this by saying I was listening to John and Troy on the broadcast of the Blackhawks Panthers game the other night, and they were talking about Manon Raume, who is the first woman to play in the National Hockey League, and talking about how cool it would be to see Kendall Coyne play in an NHL preseason game. Is that do you think that's going to happen? Maybe not you, but is that something that you would still aspire to?
That would be incredible. If you told me a few years ago I'd be the first woman to compete alongside the men in the NHL All-Star Skills Competition, for the fastest gator event, you know, I don't know what I would tell you. But, you know, I've realized, you know, the sky's limit, and you really have to keep pushing yourself and get uncomfortable. I think it's possible, and I think, you know, I would be definitely the smallest player out there. But, you know, I think my skating is up there, and that would help me. But the physicality piece I would personally struggle with, you know, being undersized. But there's so many elite women out there, and, you know, we'll see what happens. It would be incredible. But, you know, I think what we want to see more so for women's hockey is, a professional league that we can compete in like the men do every single night.
You can see Kendall Coyne on NBC Sports Chicago. Among other times, they're going to broadcast the As Fast as Her feature in its entirety tonight at 7 o'clock, and then on the NHL Network also coming up. And NBC Sports Chicago will air a two-minute excerpt from the feature during their coverage of the NHL Skills Competition on Friday. I want you to know, Kendall, that I'm doing the rest of the program today standing on one leg to work on my balance.
And you know what? And it's snowing, and there'll be some ice soon, so you can get right outside and practice.
There you go. Well, listen, thanks for talking to us. All the best to you. Keep in touch, okay?
No problem. Thanks, Bob. Thanks, Dave. And thanks, WGN, for always supporting me and sharing my story. I appreciate you guys.
Thanks, Kendall. Good luck this weekend.
Thank you.
Kendall Coyne at 8:56. And we'll get to John Williams and also the news next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. Just to clear up some old business, so many texts about the blue fruit, aubergine or aubergine. Yes, we now know it's eggplant. Did you know that, John?
No, I didn't know that.
See, this is an educational show. I hope your program is going to be as good for the community as ours.
I'm going to crow just a little bit. Speaking of doing good for the community, you notice there's this crackdown now on shoveling your sidewalk when we get too much snow or ice. I was on this bad boy since November.
Is that right?
And the year before that, I was on it all the time. And I'd like to think that maybe my constant nagging has finally done the city some good.
Well, you know what? It's supposed to snow, light snow and rain, maybe for like 3 days now. Yeah. So this is very timely.
And it will be timely for the rest of our lives. If you own a building, you have to shovel the sidewalk. People walk by there. I'm talking about condo owners, hotels, small businesses, big businesses. Shovel your damn sidewalk.
You've been warned now.
You're going to get 3 hours of that. I hope you find it entertaining.
More from John Williams after the news. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Have a great day.